This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
This is the season of graduations and growing up and coming of age. I recently celebrated my 70th birthday. I've often said that a person can make it through the first half of life on ignorance and energy. In the first half of life, you may make mistakes, may make a mess of things because you're young, you just don't get it yet. But that's okay because you have the energy to go back and fix it and clean it up or undo it. Or in golf terms, you know, take a mulligan, a do-over. However, in the second half of life, you can't get by on ignorance and energy because you don't have any energy. And so therefore, if you haven't wised up by middle age, you may very likely come to the end of your life with nothing but a load of regret. In many cases, a sense of worthlessness. The old saying goes, there's no fool like an old fool. By the way, I want to add right here that you can avoid remaining ignorant for the first half of your life. You have a choice. I want the young people especially to hear me. If you want to get ahead of the game, if you want to be a leader, then begin now to offer your energy to help those who are older than you to complete their life assignments and their life goals. If you're willing to do this, you may find that they are going to be willing to offer their wisdom, offer their knowledge, and maybe even their resources to help you accomplish your assignments and your life goals. Wow. That was a wealth of wisdom right there. So if you think you understand me, will you say amen?
Amen.
All right. I'm going to continue by sharing just a few of the things I've learned in my almost three quarters of a century of life. Are you ready? Here goes. Never be afraid to try something new. Remember that a lone amateur built the ark. And a whole group of professionals built the Titanic. Here's some other things I've learned in the past 70 years. A person who is nice to you but rude to the waiter is not a nice person. Number three, you should not confuse your career with your life. They're two totally different things. Number four, people who want to share their religious views with you almost never want you to share yours with them. Number five, you should never say anything to a woman that might even remotely suggest that you think she's pregnant, unless you can actually see the baby emerging from her at that moment. Number six, the one thing that unites all human beings, regardless of gender, age, religion, economic status, ethnic background, is that deep down inside, we all believe that we're above average drivers. Number seven, never lick a steak knife. And number eight, finally, never under any circumstances should you take a laxative and a sleeping pill on the same night. My text today is found in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, where we hear this caution. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Don't be deceived into thinking ever that the devil does not exist. He's just as real. He's just as real as you or I are. And the title of this message today is Devil's Food. See, as we just read, the devil is walking around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The Greek word for devour means to gulp entirely, to swallow up. In other words, he wants to swallow you whole. He wants to make you into devil's food. And it's critically important that we realize that what I just said is really no joke. It's very real. The honest truth is the devil is our enemy. Don't ever doubt that the devil will trick you. He will hurt you. He will kill you if you let him. John 10, verse 10 tells us that Jesus has come to give us life, abundant life, but the devil comes to steal and to kill and destroy. Now, I think it's really important right here for us to get a correct interpretation of this passage. So I want to take a moment to check the origin and meanings of the words in that verse. First, the Greek word used here for destroy means to lose or to mar. Therefore, and by the way, mar means to injure in a way that disfigures or defaces. So, therefore, what we're told in the scripture here is that the devil intends to injure us so that we will be lost. Secondly, the word used here for kill means to sacrifice or slaughter. I don't think it's hard for us to understand that at all. The devil wants to physically kill us. And thirdly, the word used here for steal, which is klepto, means to take what belongs to someone else. The devil wants to steal not only our possessions, but he also wants to steal our potential. He wants to steal our affection. So, can we all agree that the devil is bad? Yes was the right answer there. Can we all agree that the devil cannot be trusted? Can we all agree that the devil is our enemy? Okay, that's why the Bible in Ephesians 4:27 warns us. And this message today is a warning. Warns us to not give the devil an opportunity or a foothold. So with that in mind, please allow me to share some cautions from God's word to help us from giving, keep us from giving the devil a foothold in our lives, keep us from becoming food for the devil. Okay? Are you ready? Already. Good. Then let's first look at the scripture that we just already read in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant. Interestingly, the word for sober that the apostle uses is not sophron, which means discreet. It's not saying don't be discreet. No, it also is not sophroneo, which means in your right mind. The word that is used for sober in this setting is nepho, which means to abstain from wine. This then means, according to the Bible, that drinking alcohol gives the devil an opportunity. I'm sorry if that goes sideways to what you think or believe or want to do. But it's very clear in Scripture, and I'm sorry that nobody else talks about this. I know it's not culturally cool anymore. But I'm telling you, the Bible says, not me, the Bible says that we are not, doesn't say drink and don't get drunk. No, it says we too are to be sober, to abstain. So number one, caution number one, to keep from becoming devil's food is be sober. Caution number two is be vigilant. In other words, stay awake. Be watchful. Be alert. Don't let your guard down, not even for a minute. Why? Because the devil is prowling around looking for someone to devour. That's why. That's why we need to be vigilant. Some of you here have been in the military. Some of you even in a combat area. But even if you haven't, you've seen enough war movies to relate to being in a situation where you know the enemy is trying to get you, trying to kill you. And when you're in that scenario, you must be constantly and continually watching. You must always be ready for an attack. And let me tell you something, friends. This is our spiritual situation as Christians. We're in that war zone. When you become a Christian, you choose a side. And the opposing side now hates you. And the opposing side now wants to completely, literally eliminate you. But pastor, you say, what about when I'm too weary and too worn out to keep watch? What do I do when I can't keep my eyes open? I'm too weak to stand. Well, I'm happy to tell you that there's an answer for that question, and it's found in Hebrews 13, verse 17, which says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? For they keep watch over your souls. What a comfort to know that God has people assigned to keep watch over our souls. Never doubt that God is a good God and a good Father who never leaves us, never forsakes us. He is the great provider who always provides a covering to help keep watch over our souls. However, that protection does not work unless we submit and obey. Have you ever noticed that human beings without Christ are actually insane? It's true. They are. They really are. An evidence of this is how people will reject authority because they're afraid of being hurt or taken advantage of. The people that are there to protect you and make sure you're not taken advantage of are the people that you're rejecting. People have been deceived into wrongly thinking that authority is bad. Authority must be resisted. In fact, when you think about it, it's really the Garden of Eden all over again, isn't it? The serpent says, Eve, you can't trust God. It's obvious, Eve, that he's keeping good things from you. Eve, you deserve better than this. It's really interesting. We're so afraid of what our loving God has established that we fail to be afraid of what really can hurt us, what really can destroy us. And why has the devil come? Oh, yeah, to steal, kill, and destroy, right? And we let him. Why, sometimes we even help him. We tend to look at things through natural eyes rather than spiritual eyes. And when we do, we almost always lean on our own understanding. And when we depend on our own understanding, that means we're no longer trusting in the Lord with all our heart. And on top of this, more times than not, whenever you'll find that whatever we fear actually comes upon us. You ever seen it happen? So many times, the very thing we're trying to avoid is exactly what occurs. And the reason is because we tend to respond to fear by doing what we think is best, rather than trusting the Lord and doing what He says is best. So please allow this truth to sink in. Authority is God's protection plan. Authority is God's protection plan. Will you say that with me? Authority is God's protection plan. See, what I'm saying is, if you want to be protected from the devil, you want to be protected from the devil's schemes, then get under authority. Oh, how I urge you to permanently imprint in your mind, authority is God's protection plan. As long as you see authority as restriction, you'll resist it. But as soon as you recognize it as protection, you'll embrace it, you'll desire it, you'll seek to stay under it. Caution number three. Why are these cautions? This is to make sure we don't become devil's food. Caution number three is stay humble. In 1 Timothy, Paul writes about the qualifications of a church leader. And in so doing, he gives another caution to help us avoid becoming devil's food. 1 Timothy 3:6, it says, he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. Wow. Now, most of us know that Lucifer, the most beautiful angel, the angel second in command to God himself, became prideful. He wanted to be equal with God. He wanted to be his buddy. He wanted to be his peer. And his pride caused Lucifer to be cast out of heaven and sentenced to be lost for eternity. Lucifer's name was changed, and he's known as Satan, and he is the devil. And the surest way to find yourself in the same category as the devil is to have an excessively high opinion of yourself. To be vain, to be conceited. That's why we must guard against pride. Pride leads to disgrace. Pride leads to conflict. This is scripture. Proverbs 11:2, 13:10. God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall, Proverbs 16:8. Listen, the message is really clear. Stay humble. And finally, in order to keep from becoming devil's food, here's caution number four. Protect your reputation. Once again, in 1 Timothy 3, Paul gives another caution. Says he must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall in disgrace and into the devil's trap. Now, what Paul is saying here is character matters. If you ruin your reputation, you'll bring shame and disgrace to yourself and probably to your family. And please know this, when you're in that shameful place, you are in the devil's trap. Hey, we see it in ministry all the time. You see, when we do what we know is wrong, the Holy Spirit convicts us. And the purpose of the conviction is not to make us feel bad. The purpose of the conviction is to turn us from our sin and two, the loving protection provided by God's authority. But then the devil comes along. And you know what he says, don't you? He says, you're a loser. You'll never get it. You'll never be able to live the Christian life. So why do you even try? Besides, that holy Christian life, that's not for you. Hey, come on over to my side. And often, instead of humbling ourselves and receiving God's grace and receiving God's forgiveness, we allow ourselves to start believing the devil's lies. until finally we just give up. We say, why even try? I'm going to fail anyway. I may as well just live any way I please. And when you begin to do that, bam! You're caught in the devil's trap. Oh, young person, man. Young, single adult, married person, mom, dad, grandparents. How I wish I could get the message to sink in. God, help me communicate this. Listen, church, life is not some sort of game. And Christianity is not easy. I don't care what anybody says. And furthermore, if you're not experiencing struggles and battles in your life, then you're probably headed the wrong way. Because when you're going the right way, you're meeting the devil all the time. If you ain't meeting the devil, you're probably going the same way he is. If you've not realized it yet, Christians are in a war. We have a real, living enemy who is doing everything he can to devour us. So watch out. Be alert. Stop seeking happiness and start seeking holiness. More than anything else, desire to hear and obey God. Now we know that from Matthew 7:21, we know that not everyone who calls Jesus Lord will make heaven. Jesus says only the believers who do the will of the Lord will be saved. So please listen. Now, let me back up just a second right there. I'm not saying you earn your salvation by works, because you don't. Without Christ's death on the cross, you don't have any chance. That's how you find salvation. You can work as hard as you want and be as good as you want, and you can't be good enough. If you could ever get good enough on your own, then Jesus would not have had to die on the cross. That would have been foolish for him to die on the cross. What a fool would give his life when he didn't have to. But he did have to, because nobody can become good enough on their own. However, when you accept Jesus Christ, you're born again into the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said. Small is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Small is the gate. That's the born-again experience. Without Jesus dying on the cross, there's no gate for you. But he did. So now there's a gate, and you enter through that gate when you're born again. Yes. But then he doesn't say that just the small is the gate. He says narrow is the way. So after you go through the gate, there's a way. There's still a way. You have to follow him. That's how you get to heaven. Because once you go through the gate, you'll notice you aren't in heaven. I'm born again in 1978, and I'm not in heaven yet. I guess I'm still on the way. That's right, I'm still. But what way? I'm following him. So it's important that we realize we have to follow after we become saved. See, the most dangerous place you can be is in God's house with God's people, believing you are a Christian, when in fact you've never truly gone to the cross. Don't be deceived. Don't fool yourself. In Acts 19:13, you can read where it says this: some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits. Let's stop right there for a second. There were people going around driving out evil spirits. Okay, they weren't even Christians, but they was going around driving out evil spirits. Okay, and it says, when those people tried to invoke the name of Jesus, they tried to invoke the name of Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. And one day, the evil spirit answered them and says, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? And then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all, and gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Listen, if you think you can pretend to be a Christian, and even if you can convince yourself that you can be serving Christ while you do what you want, in reality, all you're doing is preparing yourself to be an entree on the devil's plate. Yes, you're preparing to be devil's food. And when you're in that position, having been deceived into believing that you can live a safe spiritual life by claiming to be a Christian, while in reality you're still pursuing your own dreams and your own goals and your own happiness, not only does the devil in that situation have the desire to steal what you have and the desire to destroy your potential and your eternal life and the desire to kill your physical body, when you're in that self-sufficient, unprotected condition, the devil also has the opportunity and the permission to devour you. Oh, you're still not convinced? How about just ask Adam and Eve? Just ask Judas. Now, I'm aware, very aware, in fact, that there are people who just don't like this kind of sermon. Some people have even decided to not like me simply because I'm willing to preach this kind of sermon. And I want to assure you, you may not know this, my ego would much prefer to entertain you and make you laugh and have you think that I am just wonderful. The problem is, I've been called, and so has every Christian, by the way, to complete the ministry begun by our Lord Jesus Christ. And in case you may have forgotten, some people didn't like him either. They even hated him. In fact, they finally killed him. And unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians who have yet to understand that Jesus did not come to make us happy. He came to set us free. How many of you know that the ministry of Jesus includes an ultimatum? Well, the 10th chapter of Matthew is where we go if we want to find our instructions for Christian service. That's where we go to find our marching orders. It seems that very little time is spent in this chapter. So let's just read real quick what Jesus said in Matthew 10. "Do not think," Jesus said, "that I came to bring peace on the earth." What do you think of that? "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, but he who has lost his life for my sake will find it." You see, whenever I preach, I try to show the contrast between what God wants and what we want. And God compels me, just like John the Baptist, if necessary, to be a voice crying in the wilderness. And I'm happy to report that our loving God has already provided everything that's necessary for the world to be saved. He's provided all that's necessary, and that all we're talking about is Jesus on the cross. God raised him from the dead, took him to heaven to sit at God's right side, and then God sent the Holy Spirit to indwell and empower us so we could go into all the world and proclaim the good news that Jesus saves, could finish his ministry. And please note, it's us, you and me. We're the ones that are to go. We have to lay aside our self-serving, self-centered, selfish attitudes and desires and realize that God's plan for rescuing the lost and rescuing the dying of this world is us. That's His plan. We are His plan. No, we don't get our own plan. We are His plan. And we're told that this is actually possible if we will stay sober and vigilant, if we will get under authority, if we will stay humble and protect our reputation. If we will do these things, we can avoid the devourer. We can avoid the stealer. We can avoid the killer. We can avoid the destroyer. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be able to complete the work we were called to, which is the work of bringing the lost and dying to personal salvation. And it will be then that our military service in the Lord's army will end. When the world knows Christ, then we'll be ushered into civilian life in God's heavenly kingdom, where we will live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. No, and ever. Amen. Meanwhile, we're called to do three simple things. Number one, forget about ourselves and fully surrender our lives to His control. Number two, determine to let God use our time, money, talents, and energy to fill the earth with His glory. You know, the whole earth can be filled with His glory without everybody on the earth coming to know Jesus Christ. There's people around, we know there's going to be people that don't accept Jesus Christ, but we can still fill the world with the earth with His glory. We can get, if we'll live in such a way that the world, the lost people, the pagan, the heathen, the people that don't love, the atheists, I don't care who they, can all say, well, I'll tell you what, that God of, no Christian's God is something. He's amazing. I can see it in their lives. Look how it's changed their lives. Look how they are. We can bring glory to God even from people that don't accept Christ by how we live. And number three, so surrender our lives to His control, give our time, money, talents, and energy. And number three, allow God's love to flow through us to everyone we meet. You say, I don't feel like loving anybody. Well, it doesn't matter what you feel like. Let God's love. God loves them. Let them be a conduit. He gives to you. Say, okay, I give to them. Love is giving. Okay. I believe that God had something for everyone in today's message. For some of us, it was a reminder to stay alert to the lies and the traps of the devil. A reminder that character does matter and that we need to do whatever is necessary to protect our reputation. Now, for others of us, this message brought conviction, because we have foolishly believed that we pretty much have it all together, and our pride has allowed us to get too close to immorality, and the devil has stolen our virtue, or maybe he's stolen our passion. Maybe we've become lukewarm in our love for Christ. Either way, we need forgiveness. We need restoration. Then there are some here who may not have yet prayed to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, their personal King. Well, the good news this morning is that everything a person needs to have eternal life and everything a person needs to win in this life has already been provided. All you need to do is reach out and take it. But don't miss this. You cannot take it and hold it without first turning loose of everything else. What I'm saying is, it's impossible to receive Christ's new life with one hand while holding on to your old life with the other. Receiving new life requires that we grasp it and that we hold it and that we embrace it with all that we are, with both hands. And when we do, we'll see God's will being done in our world and in our lives. So let me repeat that. If we will trust and obey God completely and love others unconditionally, we will see His kingdom come and His will be done. Will you bow your heads with me? The Lord is offering you a change. He's offering the renewed life. He's offering you the abundant life that will give you everything you need to be a winner. You have God's invitation. You have God's permission to accept it. All that's necessary is for you to admit that you need it and then receive it. And this means it's totally up to you. So right now, if you're one who's been convicted today, or if you're one who has never truly surrendered to the Lord and accepted the life He offers, so you're either under conviction for something you heard today, you're a believer but you've been under conviction, or you're not a believer, either one of those, would you just stand and let me pray with you? You've been convicted or you've never accepted Christ, either one. If you need anything from God this morning, please stand. You no longer have to be devil's food. New life for you can begin today. Lord, we thank You for this message that comes right straight from Your Word. Thank You for writing this and knowing that we needed to hear it today. Thank You, Lord, for laying it on my heart to present it. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us that listen, including myself, will realize You are speaking. May we be willing to forget our culture and forget the way we want to do things. May we be that peculiar people You talk about in the Scripture. Not because we're going to be weird, it's just compared to the rest of the world we are. Because we're standing righteously. We're living the way we should live. Anything that appears to not bring glory to You, we don't do it. We stay away from anything. We don't ask the question, what's wrong with that? We ask the question, what's right with that? And if we can't find what's right with that, we don't do it. We're different. We're a new breed in this world. And the rest of the world will see it. And they may scoff, but at the same time, they're watching because they also admire us and respect that. And they wish that they could be that way. They don't know if it's true or not, but they want it to be true. Oh, God, give us the strength, the courage, the backbone to stand and be righteous in the face of an unrighteous world so that people could see that and be drawn to You. Help us to not give in to the wiles and the temptations that the devil brings our way. May we not be devil's food. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.